number. I know we were not to move around, but we have also recruited in the MRC there also. I can see you also now joining that age.
Let us have our apologies.
Apologies from Mr. Maimon. He's attending the Finance Committee meeting. Mr. Nwezi is attending the Water and Sanitation meeting. And Mr. Kalisa.
Okay, colleagues. Kumelele, Harriet and Dr. Best. Let us take us through on the amendment that we said we must go into. Just assist us on this amendment.
Thank you.
Again, honorable members. Following last week's meeting, Chair, we drafted the A-list. It's important, and then submitted it to Harriet and to Kumalele also to check. Harriet gave little bit to Kumalele as well. So I'll just thank honorable members to the A-list. There are not many amendments. In clause 1, so if you have the original code, then we'll refer to this specific page. In clause 1 on page 5,
we will be inserting a definition for the Drug Trafficking Act. And the reason for that is, of course, because somewhere else in the text in the bill we are going to refer to that particular act. Honourable members will remember that last week there was a discussion when it comes to prohibitions, that we committee agreed to also include that prohibition that we'll get to later, that no drugs may be used, sell, manufactured, etc. at these initiation schools. Then also on page 5, the definition of medical practitioner is to be replaced by the one that's there on the A list. And as we explained last week, this definition will now make it clear that we are actually talking about a medical doctor, as it will be referring to the regulations in terms of which these medical doctors are registered with the Medical and Dental Professional Board. Then, honourable chair, in clause 2, on page 6 of the bill itself, right towards the end, the bottom of the page, line 57, as the committee agreed last week, is that that age requirement of 40 years be removed in the respect of medical practitioners. So the medical practitioner will come out, and then at the end of that, sub-clause 4, also as discussed by the committee, we intend to include a proviso that says, provided that the principal must have prior and proven experience as a caregiver for a minimum of 5 initiation seasons. Check clause 8, that's on page 8 of the bill. That's clause 8, sub-clause 2A. The bill currently says meetings of the NIOC must be held in Pretoria on a date and at a time, etc. We then propose to omit that in Pretoria to substitute at a place. In other words, how it will read is meetings of the NIOC must be held at a place, on a date, and at a time, as determined by them. Clause 9, Chair, on page 9, in line 44, that is clause 9, sub-clause 2, paragraph B, Roman 1. I remember this was an amendment proposed by the member sitting here to my right, that was agreed to by the committee, and that before the end of February and August of each year that the NIOC must prepare their reports, that the February and August are changed then to March and September.
Which book are you reading now, Doc?
It's on page 9
page
of the
nine?
Bill, in line 44.
Where? In line 44?
Yeah. It's subclause 2B, Roman 1. It starts to say before the end of February and August. And that February and August are then changed to March and September. Then clause 15, we go to page 13 of the bill. Line 26, it's that subparagraph K, paragraph K there. Currently it says information relating to the nature and cause of the death of an initiate and how it will be changed. It will then read information relating to the nature and cause of the hospitalization and any loss of life of an initiate. I remember the original proposal had the word unfortunate in the committee session. Let's just remove that word unfortunate. So it's hospitalization and any loss of life of an initiate. Then on page 14.
Page
14. In line 13. That is the sub-clause 7A. This is the one that says when an initiation school is closed or deregistered, then the provincial initiation coordinating committees must, where possible, arrange for initiates to be accommodated elsewhere. The proposal is to insert after those words where possible, so that it reads, where possible and taking into account the customs of the particular community or communities. The Honourable Member said it's important that I remember the discussion that you try to accommodate them in a school with similar where similar customs are followed.
What's the amendment here?
It will be that after those words, where possible, in line 13, that we will insert the word.
That must be.
Do you have this book?
This one?
Yeah, yeah. The amendment.
Oh,
otherwise now you write again. You are too young to do that.
It's clause 15. On page 3 of the A list.
Clause 15.
Yeah.
Okay.
You, it's item 2 there, the one that says on page 14, in line 13, after possible to insert.
Okay.
Okay. Chair, then we go to clause 17. On page 15 of the bill. This is just a technical amendment that we picked up as department that we want to introduce, and that's in 17.1. If you read the whole clause 17, this is about the provincial initiation coordinating committees, and there are many provincial departments involved in initiation. And the rest of the clause is written in the plural, but for some reason subclause 1 is not. So we're just proposing that in lines 31 the word provincial departments, that the departments be replaced with departments, and in 32 that relevant MEC be relevant MECs, because it's more than one in the provinces. So that's a technical one. Then clause 28, chair, page 21 of the bill.
Page
21 of the bill. It's clause 28 of the bill. And it's towards the bottom there, line 51. It's clause 28, sub 3, paragraph A. This is a comment that, I can't remember who it was, but one of the commentators who commented on the bill, I think during your public hearing, could also be in writing, I think it's delayed in the other stuff, that they pointed out, in terms of the Children's Act, a person between 16 and 18 is still is a child. And that clause says a person between. So we're just proposing that we replace the word person as they propose with the word child. In line 51 as well as in line 52. So it will read, a child between the ages of 16 and 18 may not attend an initiation school for the purposes of being initiated unless such child. On page 22, check. Line 19.
Sorry, check. On the top.
Yes.
On the same section 28. The we therefore suggest that this be amended as follows, in accordance with such regulation as may be passed from time to time. It is section 28. Section 28. Let's go to section 28. My colleague suggested that day that it should be amended as follows. Let me read the whole thing. It is ill advised to refer to specific regulation in legislation as regulations are to change, which would mean that the application of this section might not be consistent. We therefore suggest that this be amended as follows, in accordance with such regulation as may be passed from time to time, regulating male circumcision.
Are you on page
28. Talk
about 28. Yeah,
which makes an express reference to those specific regulations that are issued.
Yes. Now, this time,
oh, you're on page 22. You're on page 22.
Yes.
Clause 6, which speaks directly to general regulations regarding children.
Now
because there we have made an express reference to those specific ones, because this is specifically what speaks to this issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand the concern that should there be changes, then this would be problematic. But
yeah, those two regulations that I referred to are very specific regulations relating to circumcision. That's why, you know, it's not a reference to those regulations in general, but specifically those that deal with circumcision. That's why there's a specific reference to that. I understand the issue that the regulations may change. That's true. Of course, in such an instance, if it happens, the bill will have to be amended also, which would be a technical amendment. But I think Harriet will probably know better, but in terms of some court judgments of the past few years, is when a law refers to another law, another clause in another law, which it will include the regulations, and that is amended, the court looks to what has replaced it automatically. The amendment will come later as a technical amendment. But I don't think it's too much of a... If we may lose the focus of the regulations if we just make it a general statement. Because in those regulations, it's only those two specific regulations that are relevant. And I think it's just important for those who implement to take note of which ones exactly it is.
It also brings the necessary clarity to locate the implementers exactly what we're dealing with and where to. So it was for that purpose, just to ensure that there is no ambiguity and confusion that may arise.
Okay.
Maybe just Chair, to give Honourable Member an example of, Mr. Sitoli will tell you that the recognition of kings in terms of the Framework Act, that the President issued a notice, I think Honourable Members are aware of this maybe, that the President issued a notice in terms of the Framework Act as it was amended in 2009, but the Constitutional Court said no. At the time that the recognition was done, it should have been done in terms of the Framework Act before the amendment. So courts even go back to say, you apply, even though the law has been amended, you apply it as it was at that particular time. So if this should become an issue and those regulations are not there, they will apply it as it's read at a particular time.
Okay, now the issue of on Section 17, the technical and financial support required by DIT, be provided by relevant regulation. Now, if this section is mute on the application of the Financial Management Act, the wording of this section is insufficient, with no mention being made as to where these funds will come from.
Jay, thanks. It's government funds. So the National Department, for example, is responsible for the National Initiation Oversight Committee, and the provinces for the Provincial Initiation Coordinating Committee, to fund their operations. So anything that is funded by government is automatically subject to the Public Finance Management Act. You don't have to say it in the law, it's automatic. Because the PFMA regulates it. So these provincial departments, for example, that are involved, like us also at National, we will have to allocate a piece of the budget for that particular purpose, and that is done automatically in terms of the PFMA.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about this?
Yeah,
as we present, you amend it, correct?
Yes, I have to.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, I have to.
Isn't it? Absolutely. The amendment must be represented for it.
Yeah, now.
You have to have some proper info to represent.
What are you laughing at?
No, I thought most of the issues we agreed upon as we did call by call.
We might have omitted something then.
Let's leave it over.
Take care of your amendment. We are listening attentive.
Now it says here, chapter 3 ignores the initiate himself as a role player. Concerning the role players in the whole process, the initiate itself or itself is actually omitted here as a role player.
I think the whole vote deals with initiates. And the whole vote is aimed at protecting initiates and make sure that initiation takes place in a controlled environment. I do not agree with the statement necessarily that the initiate is a role player. The role players are the ones who are in charge of the process, which is our government, the traditional leaders, SAPS, NPA. Yeah, so, but I mean, they feature all over the place. The whole body is about initiates and such.
Yeah.
Okay.
He or she becomes a participant.
Automatically participant.
Yeah. Okay, shall we continue with clause 28? We're still on 28, check. Honourable member,
it's
past 28.
This is the formal meeting of the committee.
Yes.
Check your time.
Okay.
Present your case.
Yes.
Because you may.
No.
She's supporting you.
In agreement.
Okay.
Anyway, she's from also one village with you. There's conflict of interest already.
Oh.
No. Check your time, Mama.
Okay. So the other one here is the overlapping of section 23 and section 41.
23.
Yeah, section 23, 1, 8, and section 41. There's an overlap there. The Vietnam Health Practitioner.
41.
Yeah, 23 and 41.
Okay. Mm. That's an easy one, Jay. Remember, what 23 is saying is traditional health practitioners and surgeons, they must be registered. Now, they are supposed to be registered in terms of the Traditional Health Practitioners Act. But the relevant provisions of that act, even though it's a 2007 act, are not yet in operation. So Clause 41 of this bill is just an interim measure. And Clause 41, which means that until that act comes into full operation, the interim provision in 41 will apply for registration. So it's not an overlap, it's just to cater for those interim instances. And then it also states, if you look at on page 28 of the bill, in clause 41, 3, subclause 3, it says that the provisions of subsections 1 and 2 that requires now this interim registration shall only apply until the provisions of the Traditional Health Practitioners Act, which regulate the registration of traditional surgeons, come into operation. So the interim clause, the moment that those come into operation, this will automatically be out.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the problem at the moment is that, and we had meetings with even the Traditional Health Practitioners Council and also the Department of Health, and strange enough, they couldn't really give us a clear answer as to why those provisions have not yet come into operation. Even the council, they call the council an interim council. And I'm told that they are now busy with legislation to make it a permanent council. But we all know that the process will take a while, so we have to bring in interim arrangements for the time being.
Okay, so, now here you have 28. Let's look at 21.
Clause 21.
Yes, sir. Section 21.
Section 21.
Order and no clear distinction is made between duties, qualifications, criteria, cross references with other sections and powers.
Where specifically is that?
Mm-hmm.
Where? Because you say the structure of this chapter is not from the fact. What is it that you want to see in the chapter?
What we intend to do is this dimension. Yeah, as these principles will be playing a crucial role in the conducting of initiation practices, also it is assumed the bill is quite vague. It is suggested that the department attends to the redrafting of this section to clarify these issues as a matter of the utmost importance.
And then what is happening in the provision is to set out what is expected of each of these functionaries. And the principal running the school, there are specific duties that they will be taking care of. But together, the principal and the caregiver, there are those instances where they will need to work together. For example, in giving parents the feedback, it is both their responsibility. Hence, the manner that it is drafted to be clear where the duty applies to both the principal and the caregiver.
Okay.
And so the drafting is clear, and it creates no confusion for those that at the end, whether you become a caregiver or you become a principal. So the way we read it and the way we understand it, it is very clearly articulated and expressed without any confusion. Hence, we're not following the content and the questions that follow thereafter. But as we read it, we find that it is very direct and clear.
Okay.
And there are a number of cross-references to the relevant other clauses.
No, hence I was asking about where specifically so that you're able to assist, because if it is here, so maybe if we can point out exactly what is the time.
Okay. May proceed. I'm waiting for my money.
I like that one. You must do that. You must work for your
my money.
Yeah, let's see your filmmaker.
Yes, sir. And
look at that.
Yes, sir. And section 21. So it's very wide, and this issue open to corruption and nepotism. Section 21. Now, yes, because yeah, in addition, yes, of course. Now, section 22 AG, I mean 1G.
1G.
22 1G.
Professor, say now.
I'm thinking of the the actual practice of initiation. You can't take a stranger to come and take care of your child. There's no way.
No, you can't.
So there's no issue of nepotism. Because it's a family that must get involved there 100%. So the issue of nepotism, Chair, it will never surface with initiation school at all.
Thank you. Let's go to section 22. Because these sections that I'm quoting are not catered for this. Just to allay your fears, or my fears.
No, just read my other one.
Yes, 22.
22.
1, yes.
22. 1.
Mm.
The parallel.
Yeah, it places the responsibility on the parents to ensure that a school is properly registered. The issue of registration. Because here it says, it says the parents should ensure that the school is properly. Now, we are suggesting that this is unacceptable. This should be a proper documentation. There should be proper documentation that is clearly visible to all parents. How, if if I bring my child to initiation school, how do I make sure that the school is registered? Who's responsible to make sure that the school is registered? Is it not the principal? For the traditional year.
The bill already requires that all initiation schools be registered. And hence there are even offences and penalties that the bill speaks to say should that be not the case. Because if it would be lack of compliance with the law, then those people responsible will be dealt with. In this instance, the provision has indicated all the role players and for the best interest of the initiate. At times it must be the children. This is why then each and every person, including parents and guardians, as the most primary persons that take care of children. They also need to satisfy themselves. It is just an express responsibility that they must satisfy themselves that whichever school you choose to take your child to, because it becomes the family's choice and responsibility, as already indicated, to say where you take your child to undergo this process. Now the parents, legislatively, are also in express terms told you must also be satisfied that where you've taken your child, all things are in order. But it does not say that they must impose and enforce that the school is registered, but just be on the cautious side and be happy that you are satisfied with everything they say. Even if you just request proof that why your registration certificate is not displayed, then the principal of the school will just produce the certificate. That's basically what it says. It doesn't impose any responsibility that is beyond the responsibility expected of any parent or guardian to make sure that whatever happens to your child, you are happy and satisfied that it will not harm the child.
Now, how can parents who are not aware of this intricacies find out whether a school is registered or not?
Yeah, Chairperson, can I explain the process?
I want to
take the example of Limpopo. In Limpopo, you just don't open an initiation school. You apply through the processes, the Provincial House of Traditional Leaders. There's a structure there that screens all the applicants. Mm. And they give you approval for the who and who is approved. Mm. And the communities there know exactly where they take their children to. And the person who's approved is being introduced. This is a person who will hold the initiation school. And he has met all the requirements that are needed, including all the medical and whatever, every check and balance is being focused on that. Then you go further to another province, like in Mpumalanga, where the same thing happens. You have to apply to your traditional leader to have the school, and you will be screened as to whether you qualify. Number two, that list from the traditional leader must be sent to the provincial house, so that the provincial house is able to monitor that. So already now, before even this bill comes into play, there are processes set in place to ensure that any initiation school is registered. Where we have a problem, Chairperson, of schools that are not registered is in Gauteng and parts of Eastern Cape, and which this bill will help us a lot in terms of that. Now in Gauteng, that's where you find initiates being taught the wrong things instead of being taught the correct things. Now in Eastern Cape, that's where you find a person who was in initiation school last season, this season is opening an initiation school, and put it in a place where you will not even be aware what it is, an initiation school. So that is one other mechanism that this bill is trying to address in general. So basically, Chair, once this bill comes into play, there will be a lot of public education, so that everybody is aware of these are the provisions that must be followed in registering an initiation school and all of that. So to the best of my knowledge now, Chairperson, there are those interim measures that have been put in place to ensure that the schools are registered, and where the schools are not registered, there are punitive measures that are taken. Even now, schools are closed. When an unregistered school is discovered, it is being closed immediately. We have seen on a number of occasions schools being closed, even before this bill comes into operation as an act. So that is basically, I was just trying to explain, Wooty, now there are some control measures that are there at the moment, which will be strengthened by the coming into operation of this bill.
But this becomes problematic. I agree with him that this sort of problem is important. That is what is contained. Traditional leaders issue out the letter, permission to say they can go to the ministry and get a document, a certificate. That's what is happening there. You see, there is a contradiction here. If we say that the person who wants to run the school must go to the traditional leader and ask for permission, whilst the act says you must be 40 and above, and also that you must have experience. This is going to create conflict, in especially in Limpopo. Especially in Limpopo, because in Limpopo, traditional leaders are very skeptical, and they block people from operating. Now, if you say people must ask for permission from the traditional leader, I think you are setting up traditional leaders against. If I go there and say I'm now over 40 and I've got experience, then he says, no, you can't. Where do I go? The traditional leader says, no, you can't. Where do I go? See where the problem is. And I say, no, if you say you don't give me permission, I'm going to run the school. And then we'll rather go to court, because this thing must be very clear. But people are going to fight. There are many people who have applied who have been stopped recently to run the schools, and they conform according to the Act now. Now I think we should be very, very careful and try to see how to wriggle out of this problem, because people are going to fight with it.
We're
going to
call them before 2 minutes. Cover the situation as so that we all understand how it is operating currently. It's not to the traditional leader, Chairperson.
Dr. Pastor, can we close the door?
Yeah. Chairperson, it's not for the traditional leader to approve or not to approve. There is a system with provincial house that they use to approve a school. The problem that we were having in Limpopo, it was in the area of Skuku, where unfortunately some people were given permission by a traditional leader without following the due process, that they must be sanctioned by the provincial team that is headed by the provincial house to have those initiation schools. And those initiation schools were closed. It happens in the Sikukuni area, where in a traditional leader opens my initiation or gave permission for people to operate an initiation school without going to the provincial government as required currently. So those schools were closed. I was part of one school that was closed as well. So it's not for the traditional leader to say, yes, you can have initiation school, that's it. The traditional leader may recommend, it is up to that structure at the provincial level to decide whether you meet all the requirements or not. And a number of people applied, but they were turned down by the provincial structure, irrespective of what the traditional leader says.
In addition to that, that should also be here. In competitive rabbit constitution, it exactly provides that same, the appropriate structure that deals with the registration of the school. It is not the traditional leader, but we must understand that the bill is crafted in a manner that promotes cooperative government, even with the structures outside of government, the traditional leadership. But it is not their responsibility. Mm-hmm. And the bill does speak to the process in clause 26 and clause 15. It is very express and very clear. Registration is how it happens and what must be done, all the requirements are set up. So it will not be the responsibility of the parents or the responsibility of the traditional leaders alone, but if they will work hand in hand, and there is a specific structure that takes full responsibility from the government perspective, and that is covered in clause 26 and clause 15.
Yeah, clause 26 actually, Honourable Member, also requires that those provincial initiation coordinating committees must give notice in not only the provincial gazette but also in local newspapers of the schools that are registered. So it's there, you know, just and of course, as we started, that those initiation awareness campaigns is one of the main responsibilities of these structures. They must go out there and make sure that people are aware of initiation, what it's about, which schools are there, which schools have been closed down. Even when a school is closed down or deregistered, they must give notice about that also, so that it's public knowledge.
No, I'm satisfied for as long as I just want to express it very clearly that they don't have the power. They just check whether the applicant
I think what we should do is to adopt the hotspot form.
Yes, we are.
I
just wanted to bring things to be very clear to me. What? Section 38.
This is about subclause 6, paragraph 8. There's no change in the content as such. It is just a restructuring of the clause, Honourable Chair Member, on request of the Department of Social Development. It was in the written input that they submitted to the committee. So how it will read, if I look at the A list, paragraph A will read, in terms of section 12(8) of the Children's Act, the circumcision of male children under the age of 16 is prohibited, except if such circumcision is performed for religious or medical purposes, and therefore the consent contemplated in this section may not, in the case of male children under the age of 16, include consent to any circumcision other than the circumcision that is allowed in terms of the section 12(8). They just asked us to restructure the clause. They confirmed in writing to us, to the department, that they are happy with this restructuring. They just wanted to make sure that our bill does not allow something that the Children's Act does not allow. So they wanted to make sure, I think it was actually okay as it used to be, but we said there's no harm in accommodating the
Department of Women and
Social Development.
Social development.
Yeah, they administer the Children's Act.
Okay.
Right at the bottom of page 22, Honourable Chair, that subclause 10, we are proposing that it be deleted. The reason for that is somebody, I can't remember who, maybe Antila can remember, but one of the commentators to the committee pointed out that it is a duplication of a clause under 33, and they are right. So, what it also says. So, that one will be deleted, which means then on page 23 on top, the subclause 11 will become 10. Those last words, if we look at the bill itself as it currently reads, from about line 21 or line 20, it says, if such circumcision is performed for religious or medical purposes, remember what the Children's Act allows.
Mm-hmm.
It allows circumcision on male children under the age of 16 if it is for medical or religious purposes, but the clause actually prohibits it for cultural purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we had it there, we said that any consent that is given in terms of this bill for people to attend initiation will not contravene the Children's Act. So Social Development was obviously happy with that, but they said the way the wording is structured, they were just worried that people may misinterpret it. So they asked that the clause just be restructured. It still says the same thing, but it's just being restructured. to make it more clear that consent, remember, initiate the parents and the guardians must give consent for the person to attend an initiation school. And if a person is 16 and older also, there must be consent if it's a male initiate for circumcision, where it's applicable. So all that social development says is just make sure then that that consent does not mean that when people go for other circumcision, like for religious or medical purposes, that all of a sudden this bill, consent requirements will apply to the Children's Act. So we just made it clear to say, no, this bill deals with initiation only, cultural initiation. We are not touching what you have in the Children's Act on religious and medical circumcision. So it was just restructured in liaison with their legal services to state that clear, that consent in the terms of this bill doesn't mean that you don't have to meet the requirements of the Children's Act for consent for other religious or medical purposes.
My concern is that you see in the FOFO, they go for initiation at the age of 12 months. And in part of Northwest, they also do in Kumalang also. So last time we were talking about maybe asking the social development to include cultural residents. And I'm not sure if maybe we rework the paragraph the way we have done it now. Does it allow those other people from Kumalanga, Limpopo, and Mokwe to take their children for initiation at the age of 12?
I think that
it doesn't, because the Children's Act says, clearly says that children at the age of 16. So here I understand the issue. Our issue is that the Children's Act only caters for religious and
medical.
And medical. However, I also discuss about the social development and I don't know who you consulted with, Mr. Jester. However, the Chief Director of Legal Services of Social Development has been providing the information that I received.
Okay.
I don't know who you lied to. So, I did speak with the DVG of who deals with children, and that's the one that's giving that information. So I'm not so sure how it's going to start, because age has always been an issue,
yeah.
But then at the end of the day, we agreed that what is culturally sound is not legally sound, so we will rely on the legal sound.
I think Honourable Chair, also last week, the members had a long discussion on it, and two legal advisors also spoke about it in depth, but ultimately, I think we said we are not against bringing down the age as a department, but we are bound by the Children's Act. And until such time as the Children's Act is amended, we cannot go beyond the Children's Act or in contravention of the Children's Act.
Yeah, Chairperson, just to further add, I think last week one did indicate to the committee that there is a proposal from Social Development to amend the Children's Act, which is a window that we have to influence the amendment and bringing down the age on this specific.
She's working on their children.
If we are going to pass this bill the way it is, we are going to have a confrontation with traditional leadership from the other provinces. Because when we were doing public hearings, it was very clear that provinces cannot operate the same. I understand the Children's Act, but our plea was that maybe we talk to social development to include cultural reasons, because really, if we leave it like this, it's for leaders and medical people. So we are just training ourselves to adhere to the Western culture and undermining our own culture.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether we are going to pass this thing like this, then we are going to get it passed with this other traditional division.
Okay. None of the point is the northerners, they take a shot in 12 years for circumcision. But the law that is existing in terms of the Children's Act, it says 16 to 18. Therefore, this one, if this law is passed next year early, before we amend that one, then simply means that whatever they're going to be doing there will be illegal in terms of the law. And then I think the point that we try to get at, what can we do to accommodate those people? That's an issue. But I think in terms of the law, we say that we can't trust a being that is in contrary to existing law. And that's what you said, that the bill can't be contrary to the existing law. What do you want us to do? I think this is the point that they were really asking us, some of us. Please, we accept the principle of the bill. We need it sooner than yesterday. But please, accommodate us in terms of age.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think the point that to the question and the point that you raised when we were having public hearing, they say the distinction between circumcision and initiation. And in this instance, this provision, the Children's Act, as well as what seems to be the concern, and as I understand it, is the issue on circumcision. And like I said, the problem lies with, we agree, we are not disputing the fact that an unfair discrimination on the grounds that are prohibited is actually done by the legislature. Because how could even those that passed when they were built, how could we let it through? That is the main question. But be that as it may, and that is the status quo. Like I said, it is now not the content for this house. It is now not the place where this house can do anything about it. But practically speaking, we've already opened up room for medical practitioners to be involved without restriction. Should you want your child to be conducted circumcision within the initiation school, the best way for the protection of the child and compliance with the law is to accommodate and call a medical practitioner to come and perform circumcision. Whether you want it done there or you want it done in the hospital, it's a practical operational plan that can be arranged within the circumstances and comply with the law. Because as we said, medical circumcision for children below the age of 16 is not per se prohibited. All that we are saying, and because government is aware and is trying to catch the death of the initiate, I believe that not necessarily that the death was arising out of whatever is being taught or happening there, but it was solely when the circumcision happened, for whatever reason and the difficulties that they face. So a medical practitioner, even if it's a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old, can come and circumcise the child there within the initiation school, and it would still be legal. The only issue is, nobody else can circumcise a child who's below 16 unless it is on medical purposes. And if it's on medical purposes, it is obviously done by a medical practitioner. And that for me is a practical solution for now until the legislature can correct what is embedded in our statute. And we all agree that is the fault on the legislature. And like in the Lamosa judgment, the court said, we cannot even point a finger to it was that specific portfolio or it was that specific house. The court has already said, a fall of one structure within parliament is the fall of the whole parliament.
But my understanding, though, is a layman understanding, a little bit away from the American Congress, where the advocate, all of them, most is there, highly there. Here, members of parliament, we have to understand how to explain when they are confronted with this question. because the question was raised, please, we got a valid reason why we take the young man 12 years old and whatever. First, we don't want to disturb them when they're in the tree, because they will disturb them. But second, because the point of the I think would be possible, because if the Mongols that are not safe, they go to medical schools, not medical.
Mm-hmm.
They do it medical.
Let me just put it this way, Chair. The Mpopo, the doctors are involved, because in the initiation, I mean the initiation season, the second office sent the secular to all the schools to say that this year is the initiation period, and therefore doctors will be available at the local hospital. Now, children go there, they are circumcised, and then when they go through the process back in the mountains, they are not tempered with.
No, what you are trying to say, then we can be accommodated. That's the point that I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
If Kumelele says, in terms of the law, the bill that you are trusting,
mm-hmm.
is accommodated already on the ground of medical circumcision. Doesn't matter how old, how young you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because they go there, they do it medically, and they go to a mountain for initiation purposes. And therefore, I think they'll be accommodated, because the point that they are trying to, when we go back to them, we are able to explain to them that they are not disallowed to take their children to medical transition in the medical way they are doing it already. And therefore, that would be far better to meditate on that. Because that's an issue that was causing problems for us. This choice.
Chairperson, you know, we are dealing with traditional people who believe in their culture. So in this case, there's discrimination on religious reasons, on medical reasons. Taking your child to a circumcision, it's not on medical reasons, but we are taking that child to a medical doctor. It's not on medical reasons. So, if they take us to court, we are not going to win it. Because we will be saying they are taking their kids to a medical doctor. But the kid is not sick. It's not on medical reasons why he must be circumcised, but it's on their culture. They want to take their children for circumcision, and they've got reasons why they take their children for circumcision at the early stage. The Jewish, they take their children at the age of 3 months, 3 days or 6 days. So we are taking the Western culture and enforce it to our people. No, it is incorrect. That's why I was agreeing that last time when we said, yes, we agree that the act has been passed. There's nothing that we can do. But we must plead with social development to at least include cultural reasons. It should be cultural, religious, and medical reasons.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I think maybe a solution is to call the Bill of Social Development, because their bill is now being amended to request the inclusion of culture. That can be done. However, there's no one in at legal services. I try, because that has been my issue, my concern last week. I think, I mean, we're asking about it intricately. But maybe if the chair from your office, if you can send an invite to DG or to DG who do the children,
I think I'm leaving it covered. Honourable Maluleva, we did raise this issue. Because we can't separate the initiations and the circumcision. Because what you are trying to do here, like that indicated, we are trying to solve a problem which is impossible. We are saying circumcision, that side, initiation, that side. on the African and black in particular culture. A problem. It's a problem. But I think we are trying to assist that. Really, that issue is very hot. You can divide the nation. If you are not, no, allow me if I'm out of order, because my colleague was out of order.
No, we are not advised. The problem is that we can't solve it in this meeting.
No, we're not saying we're going to solve here, but just to express this concern, taking into account what the legal team has advised us, and you are taking that.
No.
Jay,
yes.
Also for honourable members' sake, you know, this particular bill that the committee is considering is not the one that's making it illegal. So if you pass this bill, it's not you and this bill that's going to make it illegal. The fact is it's already in the Children's Act, which is there since, I think, 2005, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So don't worry that people will point fingers to say, but you put it in this book. It's actually the Children's Act. That's why in this book it's just cross references to the Children's Act. Yeah.
No, I think it makes sense. The problem that people, their audience, once we pass this bill, they will just understand it is a bill that we have passed that is called the And then we have to explain to them Children's Act, what I know in fact in the bomb, they were very clear. We know about your Children's Act. But please, you are formulating a new thing. Address, because in the understanding that by doing this you are addressing that problem. They would know that you will have to amend that one in order for you to address that problem. And I think at the portal level, we have to meet with the social security committee. I think the staff will have a meeting. We'll have then a meeting with them, just to start to get our meeting. And then if they cover, because the amendment, I'm not sure those going to take for the committee. They take another year to work.
No, the first amendment, I needed to
It should be an easy amendment.
And that amendment will be easy. And then again, back to the cabinet.
And parliament structures will allow for fact-checking, which are crucial. So it can be done.
Okay.
It has to comply with the court order. Remember, social development says the court order that they will have to comply with next year, 19th February. So children take this fact-check.
But by 19th February?
Yeah.
No, but we should then do it sooner than yesterday.
Yeah.
Just, I don't think they'll have a problem to share this. And, I think that's what we should do. If it does go into America, then we must propose a meeting with them sooner than yesterday. Just to request them through the amendment and include this one. Harriet is there, also you are trusting. Already with this mandate, you are going to put it in anyway. The minute is clear now, we put it in there, then have a discussion about that. Because the problem that the cabinet structure will take law.
It does.
And then they have to go there, back again. And then therefore that, we are going to meet with them. I think Yamos are going to invite them for a study group. Join a study group with them, have a discussion. And then the meeting will be arranged as soon as yesterday. They're coming this afternoon. We are going to discuss that because they're coming to meet with us, the study group level. This matter, that's it nicer. And then we present it to them, they agree. And we give you a copy as you leave, paper, then change. Because you are a drafter, so can't wait forever. Because it's not substantive, really. It's not just accommodating people who offer their cash and this way. Exactly, Then there's no issue about that. Then we can do it. Okay. Because I'm a coach, I don't run out to love them. You must accommodate I'm a coach. I know Dr. Bessa is. What areas would be easy to say, man, it is not easy.
But those, you remember, Parliament, every mess is yours. And they wouldn't say no when Boon has collapsed. Okay, let us move on.
Okay, then, source 30.
Source 30.
Which is on page 23 of the bill. That was just to, the amendments there are to bring in what we spoke about last week, is the issue of drugs. To include the issue of drugs that that may not be used at the schools. And then if we look at line 38 on page 23 of the bill, clause 30, sub clause 4A, the committee agreed last week that we redraft 4A as it stated with a total ban on the use of alcohol subject to religious sacrament. So the way that A will read is that subject to paragraph B, no initiate or any person involved in initiation may, at an initiation school, use, possess, deal in, supply or manufacture any liquor as defined in section 1 of the Liquor Act. And then there will be an addition of a sub clause 5 to deal similar words but to deal with the issue of drugs. No initiate or any person involved in initiation may, at an initiation school, use, possess, deal in, supply or manufacture any drug as contemplated in the Drugs and Drug Trafficking Act.
I think we are fine. Yeah.
I'm not sure whether the case differs from the principal or the volunteers in the initiation school. If we talk only about the initiate,
That's all rules.
Okay,
let's
move to clause
53. This is the offences clause. On page 24, in line 33, that is sub clause 2 of clause 33. This amendment is as a result of that clause 28.10 that we agreed will be deleted because it's a duplication here. So that reference there in line 33 to 28.10 will be changed, but we will also just bring one element of the sub-clause 10 of 28 into this. So the way it will read is that, if I can read the whole two, is a person who forces any person to attend initiation school who forges any consent or consent form as contemplated in section 28 or obtains such consent by means of duress is guilty of an offence. It will continue like that then. Then, Chair, on page 25, right on top, line 4, that paragraph E will be replaced. Currently it says the use or abuse of alcohol at initiation school. Just to read you the introductory part, what it will say is any alleged offences relating to, and then it will read as follows, the use, possession, supply or manufacturing of liquor or drugs or dealing in liquor or drugs by an initiate or any other person involved in initiation. And then what will be added there must be dealt with in terms of the offence clauses provided for in the Criminal Procedure Act, the Children's Act, the Health Professions Act, and then we will insert the Drugs and Drug Trafficking Act or the Liquor Act, as the case may be. It just, in other words, it means that when it's an offence in terms of the Children's Act or the Criminal Procedure Act, it will be dealt with in terms of those laws. We are not interfering with those laws. Those are all the amendments on the content chair of the bill. And then just for the sake of the information of the honourable members, there's also three paragraphs of the object memorandum that you do not, I don't think the committee has to adopt that. But just for so the members will know how those three pages, three paragraphs of the object memorandum will also be changed to speak to the proposed amendments in the A-list.
Okay,
I'm fine, Chair, especially with the proposed meeting we're going to have.
Yeah.
If you are part of the study group, we're going to be here. But the government part can call anyone. Anyway. Sure. So I hope they have a meeting. That MIT people also can also join us.
No.
Our study group. Okay, congrats.
Remember, you said
you come on that
board.
Yeah, I want to give you the whole. I think we are true in what we agreed that the team must go and actually take what we are talking in politics and put it in the way that I can see. The structure is correct, they are giving us. We are accepting. I think that is what is going to happen. Let us take you before we close everything.
Yes, section 224.
What?
Section 224.
224.
Page 19.
224.
No, section 22. Not 22.
Not 22?
Yeah.
Page what?
19. Right at the top. The fourth line.
Page 19.
Yeah, it says the parents. Four, it says the parents or where applicable.
Where parents?
It says the parents or where applicable. Mm-hmm. You see the at the top, page 19.
I'm with you.
The legal or customary target of an initiative have the right to attend to such initiate who fall sick during initiation and to remove such initiate from an initiation school in any instances where one initiate requires medical attention. So we are suggesting here. This should include the ways in brackets or becoming injured after the weight sick.
Becoming injured.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If this person if the initiate is injured, then the parent will cut in. Should move into the initiation school and check the child.
Is it not covered in B1?
Covered.
Because
B1.
B1 also says they can remove the initiate where the initiate requires medical attention. So if you're injured and you require medical attention, they can remove the child.
In this case, it says to move into the school and look at the child's condition. Removing the child, the principal removing the child to hospital.
The end.
Mm.
That is the last one.
Okay.
It makes them go together. It doesn't differentiate. So you can't only go in because the person is sick. But you can go in for even injury and then you can come to medical attention.
Yes.
So it speaks to both. In other words, it is completely covered.
Okay.
Because of the M. For A and B. So both A and B, an instance that either occurs with an A or occurs both A and B, it is covered.
You're a very good man. You can be my lawyer. Very good.
No, I'm very impressed.
You know, I'm also impressed.
I want to show by ANC.
I don't mean now.
No, I'm not going to show by ANC. We are now in enough space.
No, you're the only
despite the fact we are 5 years, we can overrule everyone.
Yeah, you are the only one who allows to
No,
in this parliament.
No. Yeah.
He's the only one who allows.
Yeah,
others are very hard.
Yeah, no. And that's how ANC works. Because we are meeting in society. Now at least. Therefore, must allow the space to articulate your view.
Only?
You are the only one that has views.
I see you, my friend.
Okay, colleagues, let us move. That must be we are fine now?
Yes.
Okay.
Except section 28.
Exception
28. Yeah, she will clarify it. It is still advised to refer to specific regulations in the legislation. As a regulation,
Okay. What is our standing? None.
Okay, none. That must be happy.
No, I'm not very happy. You are a senior party chair in the chamber, but you allow people to intimidate us in this.
Not going there, they don't
have you in the chamber. So you must raise your voice.
Called him once and push him to the top of the and forced him to be jammed there for no reason. No, sir, thank you very much. You can join us though. If you want to join us, you can join us.
So in caucus meeting,
yeah.